Desire your prayers again this morning. Have something that I believe the Lord would have us to take a look at. The things that I share with you, first of all, they have come for me. And I want to put them to practice in my life. I believe in our day we're living in today, we're in an urgent need for this subject. It's two words, fear God. For us to have the fear of God on our heart. Today I'd like for us to kind of look at it as there are two different levels that I see to the fear of God. Looking in the dictionary in Webster's, one of them is to be afraid of. We fear the approach of an enemy. Here in Oklahoma, we fear a storm, tornado. We have a fear. We also need to have a reason to fear punishment for sins committed. We have a song that we sing that says, "O soul, be afraid. In his presence thou art." There needs to be, to the unsaved, a fear of going out to meet God unprepared. It says, "O soul, be afraid. Thou shalt reckon with God." There needs to be a fear on the unsaved. I remember as a child, growing up and going to camp meeting there in La Ronja, and some of those ministers coming and preaching a message on hell. And when they sat down, I was ready to head for the altar. Want to make sure I don't miss heaven and end up in that place, having a fear. But today I want to tell you, we're going to have more than that. We're going to have to go to a deeper level. Because the children of Israel had that level of fear. Do you remember when the Lord met them at Mount Sinai? He told Moses, he said, "I want you to have the people come to the mountain, but don't touch it. If they touch it, they're going to die." They came to that mountain, and you remember it was smoking, it was quaking, and they were so scared. And they told Moses, "Would you hear the voice of the Lord? Tell us, and then we'll obey it. But we don't want to be this close to the presence of God." They had fear. They had that fear on them at that time. But you know what happened to them? Within 40 days, that level of fear was gone. To the point that when Moses didn't return off the mountain as soon as they expected him to, they lost that level of fear. And they went out and made a golden calf. What a contrast in 40 days. We're going to have more than that level of fear for me to be able to make it to heaven myself. It's going to have to go deeper than that. Because they then said, after they had made that golden calf, "These be the gods which brought thee up out of Egypt." How could you go that far so fast? Today, we're going to have to go to a deeper level of the fear of God to be able to make heaven our home. We need something more. So I saw this next definition of the fear of God. It says, "In good men, the fear of God is a holy awe, or a reverence of God and his laws, which springs from a just view and a real love of the divine character. It leads the subjects of it to hate and shun everything that can offend such a holy being, and it inclines them to aim at perfect obedience." That's what this fear of God that I want to talk to you today about. That we have a fear of God that causes a change to come about in my heart. That I have a reverence for him. I have an awe for him. Want to strive for perfect obedience before him. I'd like for us to start in a verse in Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. It says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let's sum it all up. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Today, in our country, as a whole, the fear of God is being lost. Those children of Israel, when that was happening, was when Moses went up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. And think of the reverence that there was with God at that mountain. And today, we have laws being passed that says, we'll not have these Ten Commandments posted. Don't tell us to live that way. We'll not have this man to reign over us. That's the day we live in today. And through all that, I've got to be careful to hold this second level of fear in my heart. a holy reverence toward Him. Just a few days ago on the news, I was listening to, for years now, the abortion issue has been back and forth. Well, there was put out recently, we need to verify some things. In the news this past week, some doctors or whoever came up with this finding. They said, we've been able to determine that an unborn child has no feelings for so many weeks. So it should be okay for sure to abort in that amount of time because they won't feel a thing. You know, I also hear people say sometimes, and there's nothing wrong with fishing, but I hear people say sometimes, that fish doesn't feel a thing when you're pulling that hook out of his mouth. Well, I don't know. I see him flopping and back and forth, and I'm kind of thinking, I don't know. I don't think he's enjoying it. Well, we've come to the level now that we put children on that level. It's okay if he doesn't feel pain, or if we say he doesn't feel pain. How far we have gone in losing the fear of God in our country. For those things, judgment will come. It's coming. Just how soon we'll pay for it, we don't know, but it's coming. But I want to tell you, it comes on down and it nibbles right around where we're living. Saints' children, instead of just saying, I don't want to live right, but I do want to be an honorable citizen. Saints' children today that are going away are going deep in sin. They've lost the fear of God on their heart. Grew up with me, grew up with us, went to Sunday school, had these altars here, and something has happened that they've lost the fear of God on their heart. Judgment is coming for those things. But the call for me today is to stir up my mind by way of remembrance. What causes a person to move from that level where we grew up as children with a fear of God, heading for the altar when we hear those serious messages to the point that we no longer care? It's as if God doesn't exist. There have been some things in the past that have tried to teach reverence to people. In fact, they did a real good job at it. In our country today, we are so free. You can say what you want to. We have the freedom to speak. If our government isn't running the way we like, I can publish my thoughts in the news. I can spread them out. I can talk about the president. I can talk about anything. We haven't always had that freedom in the world. There was times when there was a king, and he had ultimate power. When he said something, your life hung in the balance on it. And there was a reverence, there was a fear for that king. You remember the example that we have, one of the examples is Joseph while he was in prison. Two other men were brought into the prison with him, the chief butler and the chief baker, for something that they had done. Doesn't say what it was, but for some reason they were brought to jail for it. And you remember the dreams they had and the interpretations of it? To one, to the butler, you're going to get your old job back. To the baker, sorry about that. 3 days from now, you'll be dead. Because of one man's decision. There was a reverence for kings back then. There was a reverence for a man. And now somehow we've lost it for God. You remember Queen Esther? Now surely the king's wife has power. She's next to him with power. But do you remember when Mordecai came to her and said, look, we're all in danger. You're a Jew too. We need you to go before the king and plead our case. And she said, you know, I haven't seen him for 30 days or whatever. And it's against the law for anyone to come into his presence without him calling for him. Or if he holds out that golden scepter whenever you do appear. My life is in the balance. This is just a literal king that we're talking about today. But you remember she said, I tell you what, this is serious. I need you to fast and pray for 3 days before I go in. This is reverence for a literal king. And when she went in and he held out the royal scepter, she obtained favor from him. What about the king of all kings? What kind of reverence should I have? There's another one that in our day and time is intended to teach us reverence, and it does a real good job of it. It's the judge in the courtroom. Have you had to go in and stand before him? I've told this before, but I'd like to tell it again for just a minute. Aunt Nelda had your little handicap sticker that you hang on your mirror. And one day she had left it laying on the dash. Well, you can't do that. There's a law against it. So they gave her a ticket. Well, to clear that ticket, there's a place not far from where I work. And she called them and they said, look, it's okay. You just bring it to us. Bring us the sticker and we'll clear it for you. So I told her, I go by there real close. I'll just go a little early to work. I'll stop by there and take care of that for you because you can't hardly get parking downtown. When I go to work in the morning, because I'm just going straight on to work, I just wear my old clothes, my shirt hanging out, and because I'm going to change when I get to work. Well, I had, in talking to Aunt Nelda, she just casually mentioned, you know, this happened one time before. And I didn't think a thing about it. Well, I went into this little booth and handed the sticker to her, and she was fixing to hand me the receipt that everything's clear. When she asked one little question, she said, has this ever happened before? And I didn't think anything about it. I said, well, yeah, it did a few years ago. She said, well, I'm sorry. I said, you'll have to appear before the judge. And she said, you need to hurry because it's in session in just like 1 minute. There's no time to tuck my shirt in. There's no time for anything but to get in there and sit down. That's the first time that I've been in a courtroom where I'm involved. So I go in there, sit down, and this guy up in the front stands up and says, everybody stand, the judge is coming. And you stand. And you stand all day if the judge doesn't sit down. He is in total control there. He came in, took his time, sat down, and now you can sit down. And you be quiet. You don't say a word. There's all around you is intended to put off this feeling of awe. There's heavy curtains over the windows. It's just a somber place. And you realize, you know what, I need to be real careful here because my future hangs on how I act. Well, I was kind of in a bad place because here I sit with a handicap sticker and I've got to go stand before the judge. And so he called my name, and I'm about the last one. I've missed some time at work now. And he calls my name, and I walk up to him, and I don't look handicapped. And when I stand before him, he is not in a real good mood. And he told me, he said, if you intend to have this sticker anymore, he said, you better not leave it laying on your dash. Now, you know, sometimes with people, we'll give a little casual comment or a little, you know, be a little funny or something. But there, it's that feeling of awe. There was nothing. I mean, you didn't say uh-huh or no, or it was yes, sir, your honor. I'm in the hands of a judge. I need to be real careful here because he decides my future. And the reason I want to tell you that is we are just the same way today in the hands of a judge. That judge of Oklahoma City is in the hands of a judge. There will be a day when that judge meets up with the judge of all judges. And I'd like for us to look at that for just a little bit. In Revelations, because we'll all be there too, says, I saw Revelations 20 and starting in the 11th verse. This is the picture set before us. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Now, can you take a picture of Oklahoma City's courtroom compared to this one? In Oklahoma City, what would it be if there were no reverence for the judge? What would it be when he gave out the sentence? This is what it's going to be. This is going to be the time that you're going to serve. And they will say, you can't tell me what to do. Who do you think you are? You don't ever see that happen in a courtroom, nor will it happen in this scene that we're looking at here. 12th verse, it says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. So, I have a question then. why is it that I can have so much respect for a judge in Oklahoma City and fail to have that same level of respect or more for the judge of all judges? I have a reason for that. I'd like for us to look in, go back to Ecclesiastes. In the 8th chapter. And in the 11th verse. Here's the reason. Because the judge of this land, he can give me a sentence today and execute it. In the 11th verse it says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. It says, it seems there's no punishment for scoffing at the orders of the king of all kings, the judge of all judges. When he gives the Ten Commandments and we say, pull them down, we'll not have this man to reign over us. And here's telling us, here's the reason. Because sentence is not executed today. Nobody dies when they hook a chain onto that and pull over the Ten Commandments and drag them off. They keep on living. But there's something for us to remember. Those of us who want to make it, let's don't get bogged down with seeing people get away with evil. Look at that next verse. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged. You remember in Psalm 73, it says, until I went into the sanctuary, there were some things that really bothered me. I looked around at the wicked seeming to get ahead, and the righteous man was having so much trouble. But then I saw what I went to the sanctuary and I understood the end of them. This one says, though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. It's going to be very well for the person that goes through all this that's bogging down around us. Things that are happening, there's no judgment passed out by God. It'll be well for us. Though the sinner do it 100 times and he gets by with it, it's going to be well for the righteous. It'll be well for those that have a fear of God. In Matthew 10 and 28, it tells us who we need to fear. You know, a lot of times we'll have a fear of things around us. Seems like our world is getting more and more wicked. The 28th verse says, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him, fear God, which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Fear God, keep his commandment, because this is the whole duty of man. There's another example that I'd like to give you of a king. The respect, the honor that is given to a king of this earth. Do you remember Daniel? In the 4th chapter of Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar had a little problem of being lifted up himself, feeling like he had been able to do something. In the 30th verse of the 4th chapter of Daniel, says 30th verse, the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. You know, a while ago we looked at, though they do evil 100 times and nothing happens to them, you know, it's the mercy of God that he will come to us and tell us, hey, I need you to make a change here. I need you to fear God. He could let Nebuchadnezzar keep on going without doing anything to him. But instead, he removed him from that power to teach him to fear God. And it worked well. Because you look at the end of the 37th verse, this was the end result of one king meeting up with another. It says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. It'll be the mercy of the Lord if he'll do that in this life, to where I'll have reverence for him, that I would have a respect for him. I'd like to look at another verse in Psalms, the 2nd chapter, and in the 10th verse. Because we put a lot of emphasis on a king, on a judge, we have reverence for them. This one says in 2 and 10, "Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." Those that have power that we respect today, he's telling them, hey, you serve the Lord with fear yourself. I was looking at the commentary on that. It says to them, if you serve God aright, you can but be happy. But a continual fear needs to moderate all your joys. You must stand before God. Therefore, watch, pray, believe, work, and keep humble. To those people that we gave reverence to here on this earth, that they would realize, I've got somebody else that I'm going to give account to. I need to fear him myself. And on down in the 12th verse, it says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. The Lord, back with the children of Israel, he tried to teach them, instruct them. You need to have the fear of God on your heart. I'd like to look at Deuteronomy in the 4th chapter and in the 8th verse. It says, what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law? Now think about that Ten Commandments that today we're hooking a chain on and pulling them over, which I set before you this day. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons. And on down in that next verse toward the end, it says that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. For us to be able to pass down to our children, you need to have a fear of the Lord on your heart. You need to have a respect. You'll go into the court system sometime and you have that fear and respect. I need to have something deeper than that to the God of heaven, always. In Psalms 34 and 11, we won't go there, but it says, come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. You know, the fear of the Lord is taught by us, even when we have small children, as we tell them the Bible stories of those who are punished by God, those who are blessed by God for obeying. We're teaching to our children the fear of the Lord. And even as we grow up, we need to continue to be taught to fear the Lord. Over in the next chapter of Deuteronomy, in the 5th chapter, and then the 24th verse, where it's talking to him in 5 and 24 to 27, and you said, behold, the Lord our God hath shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with men, and he liveth. Now therefore, why should we die? This is what we talked about back at the beginning, where children of Israel said, Moses, you talk to us and we'll listen. And in just a few days they gave it up. For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, we shall die. But who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God, speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have, and hath lived? Go thou near, hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak, and we will hear it and do it. Step on down to the Lord in the 28th verse was telling them, that's a good thing that you said. That's good words that you have given. But in that 29th verse it says, oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me, that it would go more than just to the words that I say, that there would be some depths to what I say, and that there would be a fear. Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Oh, that there were such a heart in them. In Matthew, it tells us, this people, they draw nigh to me with their heart, draw nigh to me with their mouth, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. I don't want that to be God's assessment of me, that I know the right words to say, but down inside, by the actions that I live each day, I show to God, first of all, that I don't have the reverence and the respect to him that I should have. Don't have the reverence to him that I would even have to a judge of this land, and he will be the judge of all judges. In Hebrews 4 and 1, it says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of us would come short of it." Let us have a fear within us. What that fear does is it causes me to walk with a carefulness before the Lord. We're not talking about just the terror of a fear that drives me not to make right decisions just out of being scared, but an awe of who God is, a reverence for him, that I would be real careful of my life. Remember the verse that says, "Work out your own salvation." We hear that so much today. I'm working out my own salvation. But there's one word that's added in there, two words, that if I add it in, I'll be okay. Work it out with fear and work it out with trembling. Realizing, you know what, I'm standing before the God of heaven. The only difference between what the judge in Oklahoma City could do tomorrow, should I go in there to be judged, and this judge is, he may wait a while before he executes judgment. You remember with Noah, it says in Hebrews, let's look at that, Hebrews 11 and 7. Noah was given instruction to build the ark. 100 years following that instruction. It's so much an example of the life that we have, that God gives us instruction, here's how you're to live, and we may live 80 years or 100 years following that instruction. Hebrews 11, 7th verse says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear." Do you think it was just that he was scared all those 100 years of God? No, it was a reverence. It was a respect. It was an awe for who he knew God to be. That there would be judgment coming one day, and I need to keep busy. We need to all be doing the same thing. It goes down and tells what the reward was for that. It says, "By the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness by faith." It also said that it was to the saving, to the saving of his house. With fear he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. You know, I think of that as a parent. I'm responsible to have the fear of God on my heart, because it could end up being to the saving of my house. By me teaching my children the fear of God, by teaching others the fear of God, not just by my words, but by my life, that they would grow up then to fear God and have that respect that they should have for him. In 1 Peter 1 and 17, it tells us there that we need to pass the time of our sojourning in fear, with a deep respect for who God is. The choices that I'm making each day, that they would be governed by this respect that I would give the judge of Oklahoma City. I need to have a higher level of respect than that for God, and pass the time of my sojourning in fear, realizing I'm going to stand before that judge of all judges. But I want to tell you, there's some promises that are given to those who have this fear of God on their heart. The one that we all use is, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them." You know, we love that when we're in trouble. "Lord, I'm trusting in you. I put my all in your hands. I've got a respect for you, and here comes a blessing back from it." Do you remember with Elisha, when he woke up in the morning and his servant went outside and that place was surrounded by the enemy? And the servant asked him, said, "Master, what are we going to do?" This verse had kicked in for Elisha. "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him." And he told the Lord, "Lord, all we need is for you to open the eyes of my servant and realize that you are encamping around about us. There's blessings for us. We don't go through that first level of fear. That's not why I live for the Lord today. I do realize that should I transgress, I need to have that first level of fear. But move to the second level of fear, that I have an awe, a respect for this judge that I'll be standing before. In Malachi, I have one more verse that I'd like for us to look at. Another promise given to us. Because you know, we read about at the end there's going to be some books that'll be opened up, and I'll give an account for my life. In Malachi 3 and 16, it says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened, and he heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. A book of remembrance was opened. You remember when we was reading there in Revelation, he said there's going to be some books that'll be opened up, and they'll be judged out of those things that are written in the books. Here it says he's writing up a book of remembrance of those that feared his name, feared the Lord, and spake often one to another. A promise to us. So what I'd like for us to do as we go from here, that I will keep burning bright in my heart that flame of the fear of God on me. No matter how far it drifts from us, no matter how much deeper the world may go. As we watch them take a chain and tie it around the Ten Commandments, and we say, this would be a good time for God to show, like he did back there. Remember, he told the children of Israel, if you just touch this mountain, you'll die. I am that close to you. And it seems like it would really do us good if it would do this world good if when they did that, he showed, nah, don't mess with my Ten Commandments. He doesn't do that. He's allowing us all to make choices. And you know what? If we're not careful, we'll see those things. We'll see these things about the abortion issue and gay rights. All these things start pressing in, and we see no judgment seem to come from it. Though the sinner do evil 100 times, I know it's going to be well for those that fear the Lord. I want to keep that fear ever alive before me. I desire your prayers.